Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Turning Towards Life. Or should I say maybe good afternoon or good evening or good night. I'm just remembering, Justin, those people who find us very comforting to listen to as they're going to sleep. If you find our voices soothing and that's where you're listening to us, hello and welcome in your nearly, hopefully, sleepfulness. We are here again and bringing a source this time that Justin has chosen in memory of the wonderful Joanna Macy by Rebecca Solnit. And I'm so amazed, I say this a million times, I'm sure, Justin, of the kind of range of sources that we have and the way that we choose them and how wonderful it is for it to be a host of sources from different places and different fields and different writers and different poets and different everything. I'm really feeling grateful for that today and how it stretches us and hopefully everyone listening into different realms of imagination and understanding and reflection. It's really, really wonderful. So thank you for choosing this, Justin. And let's get on with it.
Thanks, Lizzie. Hello, everyone. Well, before I read the source, I'll just say we're going to do the same thing that we do every week and we've been doing for 406 previous weeks. And this is a practice, you'll know this, Lizzie, but this is for everyone else as well, a practice of bringing into the middle of us a piece of writing, a source which is intended to open doorways in us and in everyone who listens. And our practice is to both read the source and then enter into a who knows what dialogue where really what we're up to, Lizzie, is softening and opening and listening and responding. So I'll be responding to you and responding to Rebecca's writing and responding to Joanna, who we're remembering this morning, and responding to myself. And I want to say it that way, partly so that anyone who's new to us or hasn't heard us talk about this before can enter into the spirit of it, but also to say from September, if you want to join us in a program of this practice from the early September, we're going to be meeting monthly on Zoom with as many of you who wish to join us and practicing this way together. And Lizzie, you and I know what a wonderful deepening, opening way of finding our own sensitivity and our responsiveness to the world and our own voice and also our own capacity to be in the not knowing of being a relationship this is. So you can find out about all of that at our website, turningtowards.life. There's a button you can click there to find out, and there's also lots of ways of supporting us and this work and also getting a weekly email into your inbox with all of the sources as well. So that's there. So you can find the source there and in the show notes of the podcast, if you're listening on the podcast or on YouTube, if you're on YouTube, and in our Facebook group, if you choose to find us there. And this was written by Rebecca Solnit, who we featured three or four times over this time, whose writing I think is wonderful. And she is writing in honor and memory of Joanna Macy. So Lizzie, it's only 3 or 4 weeks ago that we had a source written by Joanna Macy. And we remarked at the time that we knew that Joanna had entered hospice care and she died on July the 19th, 2025. It's now July the 27th, 2025. And Rebecca wrote this as part of a piece honoring Joanna's work and just seems very fitting. With the timing of it, both this is a wonderful piece and also to honor and remember Joanna Macy and her work. So this is what Rebecca writes. I write while staying in one of the great forests of British Columbia, a forest in which the inextricability of life from death is gorgeously evident. Magnificent fallen trees turn back into soil as younger trees reach downward to twine around their ancestors' trunks and upward toward the sky. The roots growing around and gripping these decaying logs look like veins and tentacles and fingers clutching and reaching towards an anchor in the soil. Some of the mature cedars and conifers stand on mounds that must be fully decayed trees, or rather once were trees and are further along in the process of becoming soil. Often a great tree that's fallen over still has at its base a tall shield. that is its roots, still clinging to rounded stones and soil, and from this the trunk stretches across the earth. These trees, from which trees grow, are known as nurse logs. When I was younger, I was taught what an artist or writer was supposed to aspire to was immortality, the kind that Dante and Lippo and Shakespeare have, so that in centuries to come, memory of your name and attention to your creations continue. Later in life, I realized that there was an entirely different thing to aspire to, an entirely different kind of creative success. To be so much part of your own time, of the present that is making the future, that rather than remaining what people think about, you become in some way how people think, how they value, what they prioritize. You stop being what's in front of their eyes and become part of what is behind their eyes, how they see the world, how they live and act and what they aspire to, what they hold close and what they resist. You become a nurse log on which new life can grow as you compost into the soil we call culture. And maybe this is the mindset of moist places, of an ecology of vivid decay and regeneration, rather than of the arid places where death desiccates and the mummies and skeletons and ruins and Dead Sea Scrolls last for centuries or millennia.
Thank you, Justin. So if anybody's watching this video, I just had my eyes closed and was letting Justin's words, the way he was reading Rebecca Solnit's writing, just become me. And it's very beautiful, Justin. Thank you. It's a real gift to hear and listen to you. I'm going to read now. I write while staying in one of the great forests of British Columbia, a forest in which the inextricability of life from death is gorgeously evident. Magnificent fallen trees turn back into soil as younger trees reach downward to twine around their ancestors' trunks and upward towards the sky. The roots growing around and gripping these decaying logs look like veins and tentacles and fingers clutching and reaching toward an anchor in the soil. Some of the mature cedars and conifers stand on mounds that must be fully decayed trees, or rather once were trees, and are further along in the process of becoming soil. Often a great tree that's fallen over still has at its base a tall shield that is its roots still clinging to rounded stones and soil, and from this the trunk stretches across the earth. These trees from which trees grow are known as nurse logs. When I was younger, I was taught what an artist or writer was supposed to aspire to was immortality, the kind that Dante and Lippo and Shakespeare have, so that in centuries to come, memory of your name and attention to your creations continue. Later in life, I realized that there was an entirely different thing to aspire to, an entirely different kind of creative success. To be so much part of your own time, of the present that is making the future, that rather than remaining what people think about, you become in some way how people think, how they value, what they prioritize. You stop being what's in front of their eyes and become what's behind their eyes, how they see the world, how they live, act, what they aspire to, what they hold close, what they resist. You become a nurse log on which new life can grow as you compost into the soil we call culture. And maybe this is the mindset of moist places, of an ecology of vivid decay and regeneration, rather than the arid places where death desiccates and the mummies, skeletons, ruins, Dead Sea Scrolls last for centuries or millennia.
Lizzie. I should say that this writing from Rebecca comes from a newsletter called Meditations in an Emergency, which she writes, that any of you who are listening can go and find if you want. There's lots of great writing there. Oh, well, there's so much to talk about here. And what's on my mind as we start, Lizzie, are two things. One is nature as a source of narratives for how we might live. You know, think of all the different places we might look to find out what kind of some things we might be and how we might be in the world. at this moment and any moment. More and more, I think trees and forests, for example, are an amazing place to look. And Rebecca's drawn attention here to something that I had never really thought about before, which is how the death of a tree, whatever else it's been up to in its life, immediately is feeding into the living of what's next.
Mm-hmm.
But how the tree disappears. So there's this point where she says, you can't even always be sure that the something that a new tree is growing on was a tree before, but it might well have been. And sometimes you can see it. So I want to just sort of hold that for a moment. But I think what really most immediately drew me into this part of the piece, this is not where Rebecca's talking about Joanna at all, and anyone can go and read what she has to say about Joanna Macy, is I think it's a really important way for all of us to look at what it means to have a finite life, that what Rebecca writes about artists, so she's a writer, so obviously in her area of concern is, should I be being like Shakespeare or Dante or Li Po and being someone that people will remember beyond my lifetime? And I was thinking about this, about us. You don't have to be a writer for this to be a question. You know, most of us, if I think about my own family, and it will be different from family to family, I knew my grandfather. I didn't know three of my other grandparents. I never met them. So I know their names and I have photos and I have some stories about them. And then I have very vague stories about the ones who came before. And the ones who came before that, only three generations before me, I don't know their names. I have some guesses about their lives. They're already invisible, and I'm, intimate. I'm close in descendant of them. And I think it's all of our fate, which is we're not here for that long, and it won't be that long beyond our being here that nobody has a clue who we were. You know, we're not going to be written up in the great annals of history, but we may not for that long even be in the history of our families. So people can say, great grandpa, great-great-grandpa Justin, or grandma Lizzie, or whatever it is. And in the face of that, I think it's one of the struggles that we humans have in a way, which is, so then what does my life mean if it's all going to be over? You know, should I just be living for this moment and whatever I can get in it? And or should I be trying to do what Rebecca says and sort of somehow what I'm meant to do is carve out, lots of people talk about like a legacy. And I think there are lots of people in the world who you could see trying to make a legacy where they'll be remembered for generations. But it's basically impossible, apart from for a very tiny, tiny handful of people. So then what might we be for? And here, I think Rebecca does such an amazing job of our jobs, not the right word I want to use. You know, she's got an amazing way of articulating what it is to be living, Lizzie, which is that we're made by one another. That's what it is to be human, is we make one another all the time. We're not at all separate from one another. And so how we live and how we relate is not only always shaping immediately the ones who are around us, it's also making soil in which things grow, the soil in which things grow now, but also I know from our conversation that we're having now that the soil that this conversation makes will be shaping me next week and the week after in ways that are hard to tell. And the cumulative effect of our making soil together shapes the whole world. It's how the world gets made. It doesn't actually get made any other way. I mean, there are the grand scale movements of geopolitics and earthquakes and, things that we can't, things that we don't make. But I actually think the world is made this way. And so it does two things in me then. So one is, it's a great source of hope because I know that how I conduct myself with you and how I conduct myself with my family and with my friends and with my community and how I deal with all the mistakes I make, all the times I mess up and put a foot wrong or hurt someone or am blind to something, or that I can by being a person who continues to pay attention as best I can and is honest with myself, but also humble and human as best I can, I'm making a world right here. And my efforts and your efforts and the efforts of everyone makes the forest in which we're in. No, nobody makes the forest apart from all the trees in the forest make the forest. Mm. So it's both it's both a source for me of, it's settling for me to know that I don't have to be like Shakespeare or Lippo or Dante, that actually me living my life really matters in that way. And it's also a call to a kind of paying attention to care and responsibility. I should not treat my life as, because it's finite, as if it was trivial, because I won't be remembered as it being trivial. Actually, the world of 2 and 3 generations away and 5 and 10 is being made by the soil we make now and what grows in it. So we've actually got a huge both opportunity and also a huge responsibility that stretches way beyond our lives, even when it seems that that's not the case. I find it incredibly exciting, and I also find it a great call to do my best to stay awake and to be attentive and to take care and to clean up after myself and to, you know, all of those kind of things.
Well, really wonderful listening to what you're saying and feeling that same kind of call. And what I love about this writing is it feels like it's connecting me to things that in my maybe our story of individualism and singularity that seems to be how the world is narrating itself in large parts. There's a story here that I'm not separate, and that my ancestors and the people who have recently died I can see how they did their job. I'm feeling really appreciative of how those great trees that have fallen still have roots clinging and reaching toward where they once stood, and that is where I stand because I'm currently alive in this earthly plane. And I will become one of those trees that fall, but I'm currently a tree. And I feel like this is a wonderful story, a wonderful way of telling the story of humanness, that we're not separate from one another. One of the ways of speaking of it. And I think I feel similarly to you, Justin. There's a great relief in knowing that I don't have to be anything other than do the small things that I'm doing to be someone who's not just in front of your eyes, but I'm part of what's behind your eyes and how you see the world. And when I'm invited into that reflection, I can see so many people who are that for me. My relationships with people that I have that are in this kind of reflective time, as well as family members and friends and lots of people, there are those particular ones who have me see the world the way that I see it because of the conversations that we've had and the wanderings we've been in and the experiences we've been through. And this feeling that we're all changing one another feels suddenly like ridiculously miraculous to me. That you live inside of me because I let you and because I want you to. And I let you inform the way that I see, feel, resist, want, not want. Like there's so much that's informed in me because you live inside of me, because my children live inside of me. Like there's, I feel like this kind of openness to being changed and to being impacted and to being shaped by the relationships and the people in my life is making the world. And that is feeling very excellent right now in my universe of me. And that we could be for one another these nurse logs, where in a way, because of my surrendering to being changed and grown and turned into whatever I'm being turned into by being in relationship with you and reading the things that I read and being in the circles that I'm in and all the things, because of all of that, the soil I get to be for others is different. And they get to be different because the soil that they're in is what it is because of who I am. And then they become part of someone else's soil. And I love it that this is in memory of Joanna Macy, because I feel like one of the great, I don't know whether the word is comfort. I feel like I'm maybe sometimes not allowed to use that for some reason, but I do find it extremely comforting that our connection to one another and our being with one another and responding to the world from a place of togetherness and connection and first step always to come together, that is an expression of this. Let's all just acknowledge that we are part of this whopping great forest together and that we're doing things for each other all the time. And we can consciously do that. We can actively do that. And we can consciously cultivate ourselves to be in receipt of one another. Looking at each other as like, what are your gifts that you've got for me? And how do I receive them so that I can become who I would love to become because of you being here with me and adding to my pot of meanness with your you-ness. And that is defined here as culture as well. It makes so much sense to me. And yet, if Rebecca Solnit wasn't taking this great act of leadership, in my view, of saying this, I might never know this. Like, she's becoming my soil now from her soil, like in the writing. It's such a generosity, but it's also completely natural for her to write this. So of course she has to do things and reflect and say the things she says and go to the British Columbia forest where she is in the first place to be able to look at it and say the wonderful intricacies of where she's viewing it from. But it's also really normal for humans to want to be of service to one another. Like, that is like what we're made of. And this story and this possibility, it really does feel like a really big call and a really big acknowledgement of what it is that we're all already doing. Like, I'm sure that everybody listening could look into their lives and we can all see the way that we have become what's behind someone's eyes. You know, we've all had conversations that have changed a person in front of us where we've told them what we see and how much we love them, or we've told them some kind of truth, or we've shown them a piece of art, or, you know, there's so many ways that we're becoming what is behind each other's eyes all the time. So I feel the deep validation of it at the same time as the call as well.
One of the things that's happening in me, Lizzie, listening to you, is a kind of making ordinary a sort of humbling that's going on. And I'm reflecting on the connection between humility and humus, the organic matter in soil, they're related words. But if we're, as you're saying, and as Rebecca points out, that if we are all always interpenetrating in one another's lives, like the roots of the trees, and if our day-to-day life is really an act of making soil in which we and others grow, it allows us to shift our attention in a couple of places that we may not have it. So one is one that you said, which is to start to see all the other people who are making us. Like, I'm made by you and by many others. And it also allows us to see the way in which we're involved in making others, ourselves. And I think there's two different ways to hold it simultaneously. One is a sort of a great opening of wonder and gratitude that this is possible, that actually none of us is ever alone. We're all being made by one another, including, you know, I think these things are really important. How we greet and greet one another on the street, how we talk and are talked to by the person at the checkout in the supermarket, and why people at checkouts in supermarkets really matter and not checkout machines. It's because we humans are made by this all the time. So it's extraordinary, and I think we can rest in it. And I also think it calls for a very exquisite kind of care and attention and responsibility, because I think we can then also ask, what kind of soil am I making in myself and with other people? And many of the great spiritual traditions point out that if we want something that's in line with what Rebecca is saying, that if we want to have the world be the kind of world that we want to live in, the place that we start is right here. Yes, there are many things happening in the world further away for us to think about and write about and learn about and campaign about. Absolutely. But if all of your attention is on over there and you're making terrible soil where you are, then we're not making a world in which anything can grow. So it starts with, how do I relate to myself and all the parts of me? And how do I treat the people immediately around me? And how do I, like my loved ones and my intimates and my friends, and how do I conduct myself on the street and in the supermarket and in public, you know, the more public bits of my life? It brings in, I think, something that a lot of us struggle with, is this sense of, well, I'm powerless. And actually, I want to say, not at all. Actually, each of us is enormously powerful, and the gestures we make to one another have a huge impact. How we apologize and how we love and how we are generous and how we include and who we include and exclude and what in ourselves we include and exclude. This is all world making. So do all the other things too. And as Rebecca and Joanna actually Joanna, I think, really stood for this in her life, is we make the soil every day with our own bodies, with our own words, with our own hearts. Let's pay attention. Mm-hmm. Let's really pay attention. And if we really knew how much power we had and also how much it mattered, we might spend less of our time panicking about our insignificance and trying to deal with it by looking sort of righteous or something, or whatever, and actually being right in here, receiving from one another. Mm. Like, who do I become because I'm with you, Lizzie? And is that who I want to become? Yes. And what does it take then to receive from you what you have to bring? And then what does it take for me to be good soil? What does it take to me to be? That is, there's a whole life there. The whole life for us to live that is, and I think we can see it when we go to a forest. We don't ask any tree to be the tree that, like, looks after the whole forest. We know that what a tree does is look after what's around it really, really well, and that when all the trees are doing that, the forest grows.
You know, it always extends into parenting for me, Justin, and because I have two young children at the moment, but I also have older children, and I think it just fits all the children and me as a child, that, you know, when you have a little baby, there's this kind of school of thought, oh, they're not going to remember any of this anyway. And they're so missing the point. It's like the soil is not about memory of events or something. The soil is something much like, so if I have, as a mother, am the soil for my children's growth, it's not that they're going to, if anything, they're like the least Justin, I'm just remembering your wonderful daughter taking the mickey out of you at an event where all her friends were present, and she said, oh, your dad's just like, oh, we're talking about meditation or something. You know, that she's never going to go, oh, Justin, you're such an amazing person in the world. Or like, our children are so, you talk about humility. I feel like my humility gets hammered into me every day because of the lack of kind of admiration I have from my children. And I know that it will ever be thus, like that is the thing. And so this feeling of, it's not like I'm creating an identity or something as a mother. It's that I am this soilness for them. And that when they're little, yes, they're not going to remember events, but their whole system will be imbued with the soil that they grew from. But that's not memories. So it's like, it's the opposite. So this school of thought that's like, well, they don't remember anything anyway. So when they're little, it doesn't really matter what you do because it'll, you know, it doesn't, they don't remember it. I'm like, sorry, what are you talking? I mean, I don't understand. It's like one of those moments where I go, hold on, no, but it's not about them remembering me doing this or something. It's that this is how, where they come from, where they grow. And so I feel like, and this word culture as well, it's such a wonderful, all-encompassing word, because soil and culture feel like the same thing to me. Like it's a set of conditions, a fertile ground out of which things can spring, and how that ground has got nutrients in it, and the content of that soil and that ground feels like a very invisible in lots of ways, and yet the most valuable territory that in our wider culture doesn't seem to have enough attention on it, which is why I think mothering goes underground. And as a mum, you know the power of what you're doing, and you know the foundations you're giving to your children. And I'm sure as a father, any parent knows, but it's the lesser had conversation. Like nobody's really talking about that. And yet it's like, it's life itself. So I'm feeling very acknowledged, I think, in, you know, whether I'm parenting other adults and they're parenting me, or I'm parenting children, or whatever it is, just being, you know, you're talking about power, being a source of power in this particular way, where we are aspiring to this kind of creative success that Rebecca Solnit's talking about, to be so much a part of my own time and my present that's making the future, and to have that valued and to have that seen and acknowledged as making the world feels deeply, deeply important. And it just feels quite marginal to me in my everyday, the way I live my life. And so this feels very, very crucial to feeling like I'm not separate, like I'm held and acknowledged in the wider system of our life and world.
Well, this is an amazing place for us to come to a close, Lizzie. And I want to just draw attention to something quite extraordinary that you said that might be a leaping off point for any of us, or you and I and anyone listening after this conversation, which is, I think in our wider culture, we don't really have a story about how we're being soil for one another and how we're making one another and being made one another. We have this story, like you say, about what will be remembered, events that will be remembered. And like you say, most of how we make one another is not, and get made by one another, is not in the events we remember. It's in some explicit memory. And I think it's a misunderstanding of who we are, that we are our memories. Partly we are. But we are also these incredibly receptive, self-making, other-making beings that are shaping and being shaped all the time. We're like more like processes. So the process of mothering, a process that is a child, and that's a very dry language. I much prefer the living, moist language of Rebecca's, like the livingness of it. And it also strikes me, so that's one thing that we can do, is to start to wonder, what if we see ourselves like this? I also think it helps us get out of the other very excellent provocative thing that you brought, but that's also in Rebecca, is here, is it's not about whether we get famous or we get remembered or even if we get liked. You know, the project of being if I was relating to my daughter so that she would say, what a fantastic dad I have. I mean, she may say that sometimes, but a lot of the time she's going to say something else. It's a misunderstanding of what we are to think that we are that identity, like what other people will say. There's something much deeper for us to be, a kind of integrity for us to be, and a kind of attentiveness for us to be, and an aliveness and awakeness and responsiveness and kind of care for us to be, that's not caught up particularly in memory, and it's not caught up in what anyone will say. It's caught up in something much more important than that. And I'm also left with a thought, Lizzie, about how much, another sort of point of reflection that I'll take away is how much of the soil that gets made in me is made by others that I'm not choosing, like what happens to be on my social media feed, or what happens to be in the news right now, or what happens to be in, you know, whatever it is. Like, to what extent am I making the soil, and to what extent am I allowing myself to be made by the choices of others that may or may not be in line with the kind of soil I want to make? And I think that's a challenge for us.
Yeah.
Is to ask ourselves that. So much richness here, so much to talk about. And I think one of the things about this conversation, it seems to me, is it both honors and names something, but it also opens big questions for us, which is the point of this conversation. And I know that it's time for us to end. So thank you for being the bold and open, loving, truth-speaking person that you are, Lizzie, that keeps this conversation 407 weeks in so alive, and for doing this with me every week. And thank you, everyone who's with us. You're so welcome to tell other people you know about this, to send conversations to them, to join our email list. You can support us over at our website, but also you can talk to us. We love hearing from you. So hello@turningtowards.life is a great way to reach us. And we'd love to hear how this conversation and this whole endeavor is impacting you. And maybe you'll choose to join us in September for our Turning Towards Life Live. Drop us a line if you've got any questions about it. And other than that, we're going to finish here, and we'll see you again next week.
Thanks, Justin. Thanks, everyone.